Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise God and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio. We have Evangelist Janet Taylor back. Next week, I'll be in with you with her for questions and answers. But this time tonight, she's going to give you how to contact her. Thank the Lord. She's a Sabbath keeper. God has moved her to the Sabbath. I've been knowing her for a long time, a wonderful sister in Christ. She's going to tell you how to sow a seed to her. She's going to tell you how to listen to her live on Saturdays. She's going to tell you the month and everything. So I'm just going to turn it over for her. Please email her for questions and answers until next Thursday. You can talk to us live for questions and answers, but I'm doing a deliverance session right now. So from now, you can email her. She's going to tell you all the information. Without further ado, you have Evangelist Taylor for 1 hour and 59 minutes.
Well, praise the Lord, saints. It is so good to be back with you on livedeliverance.com with Apostle Emmett Overton. This is Evangelist Janet Taylor. You know, I was out sick, and then the enemy interrupted us one night when I was teaching, and all of the teaching nobody could hear it. It just cut off. And so we know that Satan was mad because I was teaching on sleeping with the enemy, the part two of it. So I'm right back here tonight, going to continue in that teaching. So call your friends, get your pencil and paper, and get tuned in, because I will be teaching Sleeping with the Enemy Part 2 tonight. But before we begin, I do want to give out the information how to sow a seed to this ministry. This is Evangelist Janet Taylor coming to you live from Walls of Fire Deliverance Ministry International. That is the name of our ministry, Walls of Fire Deliverance Ministry International. And our web address is www.wallsoffiredeliverancemin.com. Our mailing address, if you want to sow a seed, or even if you have questions that you would like answered, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1148, Walkertown, North Carolina 27051. Our email address is jet245@msn.com. You can also contact us by phone at area code 336-575-0206. As Apostle Overton was saying, I am a Sabbath keeper, and in October, we are going to start live streaming on the Sabbath, and you all will be able to tune in to our church services, and we will be live streaming beginning in October on the Sabbath. So the first Sabbath in October will be our first service. So Apostle and I, we will coordinate that. So before I begin this teaching tonight, I want to blow the shofar. The Holy Spirit woke me up the other night and told me to begin to blow the trumpet in Zion. And he said, I want you to do that to wake up the sleeping church. So every church service that I have, every teaching, every preaching that I do, I begin it with the sound of the shofar. So let me blow the shofar now before we start this teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So as I said, we are going to continue with the second part of Sleeping with the Enemy, part two. This is part two. If you missed part one, perhaps Apostle will play it again sometime, but tonight we're going to finish part two. All right, so we were talking about sexual sin, and so I'm going to talk to you a little bit just give you a little bit of backdrop for part two. Now, sexual sin, we know, is against the will of God. You see, for God's boundaries, marriage is the only provision that God has made for sex. And it is sex between, it is marriage between a man and a woman. It is the legal, lawful, holy, and righteous parameters for sexual intercourse between a man and a woman. God is a God of order, and he set boundaries even for the moon, the sun, and the stars, the waters, and the earth. And those boundaries, those elements, they obey God's law, and they do not go beyond the boundaries that God has set for them, or else there would be total chaos in the world, like it was in the beginning when the earth was without form and void. Now, to engage in sex and sexual relations outside of the covenant of marriage is to trespass against God's word and his will. So I wanted to make that clear, because so many people have tried to justify sexual sin by saying that times have changed and that this is archaic, this teaching is archaic, and we need to come up into the 21st century. But the Word of God is very clear on this, and even though times have changed, God has not changed. So we don't want to get that confused and think that because times have changed, that God has changed, because he has not. And the Word of God teaches us that. So we know that marriage is the only provision for sexual relations, and that is between a man, a husband, and his wife, which is a man and a woman. So I want to move on and talk about unhealthy relationships. Now, what are unhealthy relationships? Unhealthy relationships is any relationship that is outside of the will of God. It is negative in nature, and it does not align with God's word or God's will. Unhealthy relationships include being unequally yoked, believers with unbelievers, and they almost always end up in deep emotional hurt and pain. Often the victim is left with the feeling of anger, depression, bitterness, melancholy, and brokenness. All right? Now, certain friendships can also be an unhealthy relationship. Any relationship that involves sex before marriage is both unholy and unhealthy, because that relationship is outside of the will of God and is rooted in lust and disobedience, which is a form of rebellion. Unhealthy relationships can be platonic friendships. There are some friends that you can have that it is not healthy for you to be friends with them. They live lifestyles that are contrary to what you live. They even believe things that are contrary to what you believe, and they're permissive of others who do these things. So we have to be very careful about the friendships that we make. Now, anytime you add sex to a relationship, you compromise the strength of that relationship, because sex clouds our judgment. Now, I want to give you a scripture. I definitely want to start with the Word of God. And this is the scripture that I want to share with you concerning sexual relationships. And it's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and verses 3 through 5. And it says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Then also we have Ephesians 5, 3, verses 3 through 5. And this says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church. He's talking to the body of believers. This is not for the world. The world is the world, and the world does what the world does. So no matter what the rest of the world is doing, believers have been instructed through the Word of God on many different occasions throughout the Scripture to flee fornication, to abstain from fornication, and to avoid fornication. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. So I wanted to share that before we moved on. Now, I want to talk about some of the consequences of fornication. What are some of the results? Because everybody's saying not to fornicate. So let's talk about why we should not fornicate. All right, first of all, fornication is a violation of God's word and God's will for his people. All right, then there are some consequences of things, some unhealthy consequences of what happens when we go outside of God's will. So one of the things is a soul tie is established. Now, what is a soul tie? Soul ties are an invisible but strong spiritual bond formed between a man or woman during sexual intercourse. A soul tie is an obsessive affection for a person which is strengthened by sexual intercourse or blood covenant. When there is a soul tie, one's actions are controlled and subject to that of the other person. So when a soul tie is made, somebody in that relationship is going to be controlled by the other person. This is a form of witchcraft. An unholy union is formed between two people and is consecrated so that the two share one mind. Now, Jesus said in the Word of God that the two flesh become one. So when a man and woman marry and they consummate the marriage based on the physical anatomy of their bodies, the two flesh become one. Now, one is living for the other person. Soul ties can be between a man and a woman. It can happen between two men. It can exist between two women. Or there is another type of soul tie. It is between, that can happen, between a mother and her son, or a daughter and her father. Now, that type of soul tie is called the Olympus complex. And it usually occurs when women become overly obsessive of their sons, and they actually try to replace or misplace the affection that they should have gotten from their spouse. They misplace it upon their son, and that is an unsoul tie. So oftentimes women who did not get the proper affection that they needed from their spouse, they often try to replace that by misplacing that affection on their son. And sometimes dads do the same thing with their daughters. That is unhealthy and it's called an Olympus complex. Now, when a man or woman is being controlled or manipulated in the name of love, this is witchcraft. This is why so many people stay in abusive relationships, because somebody is controlling the other, and the control, sex is such a powerful tool. That is why we are not to fornicate. That is why we shouldn't engage in casual sex, because sex leaves fingerprints. Sex leaves engravings, so to speak, on your soul. There are memories associated with sex that you just don't get up and walk away from. Things become engraved upon you. Now, there are several ways that we receive information from others. So I want to talk about this. Every time you have sex with a different person, a spiritual deposit is being made. Soul ties cannot be broken naturally because they are spiritual. Whenever you trespass against God through fornication, you actually inherit or receive a deposit from the person that you are fornicating with. And it's an invisible deposit, but it is real. It is so very real. Now, I want to share something with you. Before I was a Christian, I was strung out cocaine for many, many years, for about 12 to 13 years. I was in and out of jail. I was in and out of prison. I was raped repeatedly. I became a prostitute in the street. So I sold my body to get crack cocaine. So everything that I am teaching you tonight, I have personally experienced, or I know someone who experienced it. The only thing I didn't do was I didn't mess around with the same sex, and I didn't use intravenous drugs. But nevertheless, I was under the influence of crack cocaine, which is the spirit of pharmakia. I was controlled by that, so I did a lot of ungodly things with a lot of ungodly people. And those spirits are transferable. Those spirits are transferred through sexual relations called soul ties. So I got delivered. When you trespass against God through fornication, you inherit these spiritual soul ties. They are deposited, especially if you're a woman, but men also make soul ties. So the spirit that was deposited must be cast out of the individual through deliverance. Now, I don't know if you know this, but I met Dr. Rebecca Brown. She wrote the books, He Came to Set the Captives Free, and she also wrote Unbroken Curses, and there were several other books that she wrote, but I remember these two because I actually met Dr. Brown when she came to the city that I live in. And so I learned a whole lot from her. As a matter of fact, she was the one that took me through my deliverance. And I mean, it was powerful. Now, when a person has had multiple sex partners, that's like a computer that has received too many downloads, which corrupts the files, and it becomes infected with a virus. The database gets full and is in need of what is called disk defragmentation. People who have had sex with multiple partners have made soul ties with every person that they have slept with. Not only are there soul ties with the actual person that they've had sex with, but they also have made soul ties with every person that that person has slept with. So what you end up with is fingerprints and memory phones. And I want to talk about this from a spiritual perspective. Those who have had multiple sex partners suffer from what I call spiritual memory phone. Spiritual memory phone. Let's think about what memory phone is and what it does. When you have memory phone, it leaves an imprint of, you know, the way you sleep, or you can get a memory phone pillow, and it leaves an imprint of how your head and your neck, and so that pillow becomes a pillow. Really, it becomes a unique pillow. All right. Now, those who have had sexual relations with multiple partners, they also have a type of spiritual memory phone. In other words, the memory phone causes them, the spiritual memory phone causes them to remember old sex partners, old sexual encounters, and that actually will hinder you from finding and bonding with your spouse in the future. Now, the believer needs to be delivered before they will ever be able to properly bond with their spouse. I know, because I had to go through such deliverance. Glory be to God. And I want to talk to you. I want to share some information that I learned from this article. It's found in the Christian Post, so I'm just going to read from it, about three chemicals that are bonding agents, causes a husband to bond to his wife, the wife to her husband, and even the mother to her child. So these are the different types of soul ties that I'm talking about, but I want to tell you how God, he made the body in such a way that these chemicals and are released during sex to cause the person, the husband and the wife, to bond to one another. They are called dopamine, which is in the brain, and it is released in the pleasure syndrome. It's the thing that makes you want to do something again. All right, this is why drug addicts get hooked on drugs, because dopamine is released in the brain, and it causes the individual to want to repeat the drug use. Well, it's the same thing. It's the same chemicals that are released in the brain that causes you to want to repeat the sex act. All right. So let's keep moving. Now, these three bonding agents are called dopamine, oxytocin, and vasopressin. All right. So this article I'm going to read to you, it says, how premarital sex rewires your brain affects your chances of finding your life mate. Dopamine, oxytocin, and vasopressin are three powerful and important chemicals released during sex between a man and a woman in a committed and relationship. And it helps the couple's bond. When they are introduced in casual sex relationships, they cause a whole lot of trouble. All right. When someone is involved sexually, it makes them want to repeat the act. That's what dopamine is your internal pleasure reward system. When dopamine is involved, it changes how we remember things. Now, dopamine is a powerful chemical, which is compared to like heroin on the brain. It is the chemical that is released in the pleasure syndrome. So when you experience something, it's like little children when they eat ice cream, they want it again and again and again, because the dopamine is released because it's pleasurable. All right. So oxytocin is a hormone produced primarily in women's bodies. It helps women become bonded to their spouse. When a woman has a child and she is breastfeeding, she produces lots of oxytocin. This binds her to her child. For this reason, mothers will die for their child because they become emotionally bonded due to the oxytocin that is released when they're skin to skin with their child. When a woman becomes intimate with a man, her body also releases oxytocin, and she becomes emotionally bonded to him. Have you ever wondered why a woman will stay with a man who is abusing her? We know that it's because she has made a soul tie with him emotionally, but also because of the oxytocin that was released during sex. So we see these women that are being beaten and misused and cheated on and abused and just talked to and mistreated in such a bad way. And you wonder, why doesn't she leave him? Why is she still with him? It is because a soul tie has been made, and that soul tie has to be broken before she will ever have power or strength or even the gumption to leave that individual, no matter how abusive he is. And some women stay even at their own peril. So it is oxytocin that is released. Now, it is also referred to as the monogamy hormone. Now, men produce a chemical called vasopressin, which it serves as the same purpose as oxytocin. It bonds a man to his woman. But these bonding agents are great only for marriage. They don't work so well if you are having casual sex, because you lose your objectivity when you're searching for your potential life mate. Ever you have premarital sex, you rewire your circuitry and you become bonded to somebody that you're not supposed to be bonded to. And the more you have sex with that individual, the deeper the soul tie goes, and the more hurtful and the more painful the breakup will be. The neural circuits actually didn't even have time to reset, and so you've impaired in your ability to bond with the next person. So you may have had lots of casual sex with Tom, Dick, and Harry, and Joe, and for the men, Mary, Lucy, and Sally. And then you think, okay, I have finally met Miss Wright or Mr. Wright, and you want to go on and marry that person, and this is the person now you want to spend the rest of your life with, but you're not going to be able to until those soul ties that were made, all those previous soul ties have to be broken. They have to be broken. And I learned that only a free man can free a man. That is why I went through deliverance with Dr. Rebecca Brown. Amen? So I wanted to share this with you. Knowing how these neurochemicals, God made them. He made these chemicals. They are in our bodies, and he made them to be released during sexual intercourse. So knowing how these neurochemicals interact and change the brain help us understand why sex is meant to be kept within the confines of marriage. Now, sex was never meant to be casually, just have casual sex with this person, with that person. Your disc, or so to speak, your heart, is going to become fragmented. All right? So God had a pure design for his pure temple. So those that are practicing sex outside of marriage are creating bonds with every partner that they sleep with. Thus, they will later in life be unable to discern whether they should even remain in that relationship, even though it is extremely painful and abusive. God wired and designed our brains for a specific person, and that is to bond with the person that we marry, not to be casually engaged in. Outside of marriage, which is fornication, is not God's will. And the reason it is because the way he designed the body, God wants to protect you from unnecessary hurt and pain. Now, those of you that are listening to this teaching tonight, if you will just think back on some of the relationships that you were in the past, you will see the patterns. You bonded with this person. You stayed longer than you should have stayed in that relationship, and you stayed longer than you wanted to stay, and it was hard to get away, and it ended very painfully, and you ended up with a lot of emotional scars. Remember that a soul tie is made with every person that you engage in sex with, that is past and present. And soul ties actually create bondage that must be broken through repentance and renunciation. There are three things that happen. We have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life, which is rebellion and defiance against God. All right, so let's move on. I want to talk to you about doorways. What are spiritual doorways? I'm glad you asked. Doorways are the ways that Satan enters the life of a believer. So we have five doorways, or some people call them gateways. So let me tell you what they are. They are the ear gate, the eye gate. The number one is eye gate. So let's start there. The eye gate is what you see. It's what you look at: television, pictures, movies, videos, images, subliminal suggestions. A lot of times things are shown in pictures that you did not necessarily know was there. That is a subliminal suggestion. All right. So everything that you look at, especially on television, it's leaving a picture on your mind. So we have to make sure that we watch godly television programming, and that we're not watching things, we're not taking things into our spirit that is not conducive to us living a clean and holy life. All right? I have some pictures here. I wish you could see. I have some pictures of some subliminal things, some hidden images that were implanted in Disney cartoons. And they were sexual. They were sexual in nature. And little kids have been watching these cartoons. And they are subliminal. And maybe the child noticed it, and maybe the child didn't notice it. But nevertheless, the imprint from it is going to be there. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Mr. Disney. He was a pedophile. He operated in the spirit of perversion. And he was also a 33rd degree Freemason. So what he created, and parents are steady flocking there and taking their children there on a daily basis, was a place to attract children. Why? Because he himself was a pedophile. So I want to say to you, parents, don't sacrifice your children to the false god Molech. And that's found in Leviticus 18 and 21. Orlando, and most people don't know this, but Orlando has been declared the porn capital of the world. I was shocked when I found it out. I actually came across an article that said Orlando is the porn capital of the world. And why? Because the spirit of perversion is the ruling territorial principality over Orlando. Now, I want to share with you about what happens. So we see that the word pornography, we see there's a lot of pornography in Orlando. So let me talk about this. Fornication is any sexual activity outside of the sacred bonds of marriage. And it stems from the Greek word porneia, which means any form of sexual impurity. Fornication is a distinct sign of immaturity. The Bible tells us to avoid youthful lust. The word pornography comes from two words, porne, meaning prostitute, and graphos, meaning writing. This includes books, videos, films, magazines, etc. Anything about prostitutes. All right. Now, if we look at 1 Corinthians 16 and verses 12 through 20, the goddess of love was Aphrodite, was in Corinth. And this temple employed more than 1,000 prostitutes, priestesses, and sex was a part of their worship ritual. All right. The hotel industry in Orlando has declared that Christians are the biggest watchers of porn when they come to Orlando. Now, that in itself is very telling because Christians are not even supposed to be involved in watching pornography, but they do. They are watching the adult programs. They're watching these sex channels, and the hotels know because they know who subscribes to them when people check in and check out. They know what channels they were watching. So Christians are leading the pack in watching pornography. And I do believe when they go to Orlando, I do believe that it is directly related to because they have entered into the area where pornography and perversion are the ruling principality in that area. I believe many Christians get overtaken by that spirit because they're sleeping in hotels where all sorts of ungodly things have happened. They're spending time in these rooms, and it's the principality over that area. And I just believe people are succumbing to it in just not even trying, but they're succumbing to it. All right? So, like I said, Orlando is the porn capital of the world, and the spirit of perversion is the ruling principality there. All right. So that is the eye gate. All right. Let's talk about the next one, which is the ear gate. The ear gate is what we receive in our spirits through our ears. It's what we hear. Now, sounds, high-pitched sounds, tones, noises, voices, music, talks, gossip, etc. Demons can be cast in through music, and demons can be cast out through music. Now, we do know that when Saul, King Saul, had a demonic spirit, David played for him, and he calmed him. He was able to soothe him with music. Now, I want to talk about the churches that employ these ungodly musicians. They're unsaved. They're living ungodly lifestyles, and they are hired by the church to play the music for the worship. I was in Turks and Caicos Island at a women's conference, and a young man was playing the keyboard who was son-in-law. And all of a sudden, this young man began to play "She's a Bad Mama Jamma" in the house of God. He didn't sing it, but he played the music to it. And he played it right before the preacher was to get up and preach. And myself and another saint of God, we looked at each other because we knew that it wasn't Christian music that he was playing. And when we finally realized the name of the tune, we learned later that this same young man who was the pastor's son-in-law, he played for the church on Sunday, but he also played in the club on Saturday night. So what am I saying? The spirit that was in that young man was being released into the church. When he played on that keyboard, he played from what was in him from Saturday night. He played it and it went out into the airways. Remember, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And it went out into the airways, and people in the church, the average person was clueless what he was playing. But myself and one other sister, we recognized that tune. Why? Because I wasn't saved when that tune came out. I was in the club when it came out. So I recognized it. She recognized it. After church, I told the pastor's wife what the young man was playing. Rather than her deal with her son-in-law, you know what she said? How did she know what it was? She was asking the question, how did I know what the song was? That was not the issue. The issue was this man was hired by the church to play worship music, music that exalts the name of Jesus, music that glorifies God, and music that ushers us into the presence of God. And yet, because he played in the club on Saturday night, he was playing unholy and ungodly music. He was playing She's a Bad Mama Jamma in the House of God. Most of the saints were clueless what he was doing, but he was doing what was in him, and he was spiritually releasing that same spirit from the club into the church through the music. David played, and the unclean spirit that was in Saul was driven out. And the same way, I want to say this to those of you who are musicians, the same way that David could play and drive the unclean spirit out of Saul, reverse that, and you can drive unclean spirits into people by playing that ungodly music. And you pastors who are listening to this teaching had better take heed to this. If these musicians are not saved, if they are not sold out to God, if they are not sanctified and consecrated their gift unto God, you had better leave them where you find them. It would be better for you to play tracks until God send you a godly, a God-fearing musician, than for you to have one that's in the house of God releasing unclean spirits through the worship music. We must remember that Lucifer was the chief musician. He's very skillful in music. So you pastors, wait on the Lord. Pray and ask God to send you a musician. Don't just take the first thing that comes along because maybe he or she can skillfully play. They have to be consecrated. The Levites were the musicians in the Old Testament, and they had to be consecrated unto the Lord for the work of the Lord. They could not go into the temple. They could not handle the vessels and the instruments. They could not unless they were sanctified, which means set apart for God, and they had consecrated themselves for God's glory. If you compromise, you are doing damage to the body of Christ, Pastor, by receiving these unsaved, unholy, unconsecrated musicians. They playing in the club Friday, Saturday, and then they get up in the pulpit and play on the holy instruments of God. And we wonder why there's no power. We wonder why there's no anointing in the services. We wonder why nobody's getting delivered. We wonder because music is what prepares the heart to receive the word of God. When we worship the Lord, we are actually ushering in the presence of the Lord. And in many churches, and I preached in countless churches, in many churches, the presence of the Lord is not there. I was in a church in Jamaica, and the musicians were playing jazz. Now, I got up and stopped them. I did. The pastor was not there. The pastor's wife was not there. I got up and quietly walked over to the musicians and told them to please stop playing jazz in the house of God. You see, what we put into our ear gate, it's going to affect you. It's going to affect the congregation. It's going to affect the body of Christ. So many people listen to worldly music. They just say, I just keep it on one station. Well, when the gospel goes off, when the gospel hour goes off, then they're listening to the secular station. All right? So you listen to that all week long, and then you wonder why you can't connect with God, why you can't get in God's presence, why when you worship, you don't feel the presence of the Lord. It is because you've been listening to ungodly music all week long. You have to play music that edifies and that builds up your spirit, man. Music that is about the Lord. Music that ushers you into his presence, which is worship music. The scripture says the hour has come and now is for the true worshiper. So are there any true worshipers? Or do you just want to have a great choir and you just want to have a great musician and everything looks nice, but there's no anointing? We must remember what Isaiah 26 says. It is the anointing. It is because of the anointing that destroys the yoke. When there is irabashata, when there is anointing in the music, anointed music drives demonic spirits out of the temple. But when it's not anointed, when it's not holy music, actually demons are attracted to that. So we have to be careful what we listen to. The ear gate is what we hear. Even gossip, when you're listening to gossip, you are allowing someone to put trash in your garbage can. As a matter of fact, they're emptying their trash and filling up your garbage can with their trash. Demons can be cast out through music, but demons can also be released music into the sanctuary. Amen. All right, the next one, the next gateway or doorway is the mouth gate. It's what goes into your mouth. Foods, drugs, drinks, poisonous chemicals, cigarettes, and other unauthorized objects, body fluids, saliva, blood, all of these things. And it's cursing and what comes out of your mouth. Unholy agreements, decrees. Do you know that there are so many people in the church that just say amen to everything? You have to be careful what you say amen to. So you need to, first of all, be quick to listen and slow to speak. When somebody is preaching or ministering, make sure you hear what they are saying before you say amen, because the word amen means so be it. I agree with that. So you come into agreement with something that might be unholy or ungodly. God is not in that. We have to be very careful what comes out of our mouth, what goes in our mouth, and what comes out of our mouth. Amen? Be very careful. All right, the next one is the nose gate. The nose gate is what goes in our nose. People use drugs, smoke, chemicals, vapors. I need to go back to that mouth gate because a lot of chemicals can be received into the body through that mouth gate. What you eat, you need to be careful. Read labels. Look at content, fat content, salt content, sugar content. We need to look at those things because the spirit of pharmacy, especially medications, pray about taking medications. Now, am I saying that medication is wrong? No. I'm saying ask God if you should take this particular medication. Pray about it. The spirit of pharmakia is prevalent today. It's very prevalent today. People become hooked on medications, especially right now we see the fentanyl people are dropping like flies. The Oxycontin and the Vicodin, all of these people got hooked on those things. So all of the codeines and all of those drugs, the Vicodins, all of those drugs, you have to be careful about taking those because Satan is clever. You may get that drug for pain, and then you get hooked on it, and then you can't stop using it. And then you become a drug abuser. So be very careful about what you put in your mouth gate. Back to the nose gate. It smells. It's aromas. It stings. Do you know sex has a smell? It does. People have a smell. And when people engage in sex, those two people also create an aroma. And you can, when that odor is released, actually, you begin to remember that. And that's when you want to, the dopamine is released, and then you want to repeat that. So you have to be careful. People are smoking vapes now. Vapes is really important. You have to be careful. First of all, God did not even call us to put such things in our body. And so these are chemicals, and they are highly addictive. So many people are hooked on vaping right now. But when vaping was first introduced, we were told that it was safe and that it was harmless. Now, it hasn't even been that long. Now the FDA has ruled that vaping is far more dangerous than cigarettes, far more addictive than cigarettes. People are suing the vaping manufacturers right now because they are hooked. The vape instrument has been known to blow up in people's face, burning up half their face. We just can't be deceived by these things. We have to seek the Lord about these ear gates, eye gates, nose gates, whatever gate it is, you have to seek the Lord about these things because man, the Bible says, put not thy trust in man, nor thy confidence in princes. Man will always tell you this is new and this is good. And then less than 6 months later, they'll say, oops, we didn't take this into consideration. This is not good, and now it's bad, and now we're pulling it from the market after you've already ingested it. It's already in your body. So we have to be very, very careful. And the bottom line is pray about everything. All right. The last gate is the sexual organs. And it's touch. What goes into our body through the vagina or through the anus? And I want to talk about this because there's a lot of sodomites today. A sodomite is someone who engages in anal sex, which is completely repulsive, and it is ungodly. And the Lord said, he said this about the sodomites. I'm going to pull up this word and share with you. It's found in Leviticus chapter 18, and this is what God says about it. So I'm going to share this right now. Let me just turn there. Leviticus chapter 18 and Okay, this is what he says. So I'm going to read all of this. He says, thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. This is Leviticus 18. We're at verse 21. Then he goes on to say, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. So he's speaking of homosexuality. Verse 23 says, thou shalt not lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. So he's speaking against bestiality. Defile not yourselves in any of these things. All these, the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. All right, I'm going to move to Leviticus chapter 20. Anyway, what it says is that a man shall not lie with a woman having her sickness, having her menstrual cycle. And then it says, a man shall not lie with a man as with a woman. So that is sodomy. And no sodomite could come into the temple of God. The scripture says he was an abomination. So I wanted to share that with you because people tend to think that that's okay because times have changed and now, you know, all of this stuff is going on. But we must remember that times may have changed, but God will never change. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the same reason. Two cities were destroyed for the same reason. So we need not to think that God is going to change, because if he were to change, he would have to dig up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them, and that is not going to happen. So what goes into our body through the vagina? Body fluids, drugs, chemicals, objects, food, animals, all sorts of things. All sorts of things are taking place with the sexual organs. And these things are, it's perversion. It's pure and simple. It is perversion. It is not the will of God. Even these sex toys people are using, it's perversion. It is perversion. It opens up doorways. It opens up the imagination. And it just leads to perversion. So it's the doorway that the enemy's going to come through and is going to lead to further perversion. Now, the role of the gatekeeper and the watchman, gates open and close to lock things in or to keep things out. The gatekeeper is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. So Ezekiel 3:17 says, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word that I speak and give them warning from me. Now, these are warnings of impending danger. The word of God gives us warnings upon warnings upon warnings. We have to pay attention to the word of God. We cannot go outside of the word of God. We cannot say, well, I disagree with this, or I like this part, but I don't really really hold to with this other part. We have to eat the whole loaf. So we know that these gates are the eye gate, the ear gate, the nose gate, the mouth gate, the vagina and anus. Now, what happens is that this includes witchcraft, control, the Jezebel spirit, which she uses to bewitch, powers of seduction to lure her victims away from God so that she can devour them. The Jezebel spirit is a strong spirit because Jezebel is the master of seduction. And to be seduced means to be led astray through temptation and enticement. I like to think of the story of the Pied Piper who came in and seduced the children and led them all away from the city. He just played music, and all of the children followed him out of the city. This is how, this is a prime example of what the spirit of seduction looks like. It leads you away from what is good. It leads you away from God, and then you end up in a terrible place that you didn't want to be. One thing about sin, sin will take you where you didn't want to go and make you stay longer than you intended to stay. All right. So Paul used the term bewitched to describe the demonic influence of soul ties. Paul wrote, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth, crucified among you." Paul is saying to the church, this is found in Galatians 3:1. The word bewitched in Greek means baskano. It means to be charmed with words. So Paul is saying to the church, who came in and charmed you with flattering words? Who came in and told you something different other than the word of God? Just as the strange woman used flattering words to capture its victim, so do the Jezebel spirits do. They are seductionists. They are seductresses, and they seduce people away from what God has said. So this is what the word of God tells us about the strange woman, found in Proverbs 2:16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even the stranger which flattereth with her words. That's Proverbs 2:16. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is sweeter than oil. That's Proverbs 5:3. And wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? That's Proverbs 5:20. The word diva. So many Christian women are calling themselves a diva. Christian women cannot be divas because the word diva means goddess, and a goddess is something that is worshipped. So you're ignorantly using these words, but we had better be extremely careful about these words because we are the people of God. We don't want to be worshipped because we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, Proverbs 6:24 says, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Proverbs 7:5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. So that the spirit of Jezebel works by releasing the spirit of seduction. It is a strong spiritual force against your mind, imagination, and emotions. This leads to a soul tie because you've actually been seduced physically and spiritually. This is why the Bible declares that if a man looks at a woman and lusts at her, he has already committed the sin. The word of God is what we have to use to fight against this spirit. You are no match for it. We are no match for it, especially if you have opened the door to it and let it in. The Jezebel spirit is extremely deceptive and dangerous because it can lay dormant for a very long time, and it will wait for its victim. People that carry a dormant Jezebel spirit are often very talented. They are helpful. They do many good things. And they can be overachievers, having many awards for good service and accomplishments. See, the Jezebel spirit is awakened. It releases a tremendous warfare on the inside that resembles volcanic pressure until it suddenly erupts. The person with the awakened Jezebel spirit must repent and must cry out to God for deliverance. They must not cave in to the Jezebel spirit. They must not yield to it. We must cast down all wicked imaginations. Persons with this spirit need to get rid of pictures of old lovers. They need to get rid of letters, old gifts from old lovers, and things that were even given to them. These things may be valuable, but it is better to obey God than to obey man. It is better to trust in the Lord. And Samuel told Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice. This also includes listening to music. I remember a young lady, she's not here anymore, but she was sitting up one time just listening to this, all this old music from the world. And she was sitting there and she was crying. And I said to her, girl, what is wrong with you? She was remembering old lovers. These old songs were evoking that memory. And she was remembering. And it brought her grief because she was heartbroken. So we should not, as believers, go back looking for old lovers and listening to those old songs because they do not edify. As a matter of fact, all they do is depress us. And that's what she was. She was depressed and she was even crying. Mementos from past relationships must go, because they block you from being completely sanctified unto God. Things like lingerie and jewelry, I don't care what kind of gift it was. If an old lover gave it to you, you need to get rid of it. All right. Trespassing is going outside of God's boundary. To do so will lead to sin. To illegally obtain the pleasures of sex outside of the bonds of the covenant of marriage. Now, that's being done in many ways. It's being done through fornication, but also through masturbation. And I want to talk about that. I was teaching in Florida one time. I was teaching the Sleeping with the Enemy workshop, and a young lady called me on my way back home. And I always do an altar call, and I always, pray with people and cast out these unclean spirits, but she didn't come forth for that. So she called me on my way home, and she asked for prayer. And I said, prayer for what? And she said, she was hooked on porn. So I was so out of date. I said, you talking about magazines? She said, no. And I said, well, how are you getting pornography? She said, I pull it up on my phone. And I said, really? And she said, yeah, I pull it up. She said, I get the urge for sex. She said, and I pull up porn. She said she did this while she was at work. She said, and I go into the bathroom and I masturbate. And then when it's over, I come back out and I go on with my day. And I was floored. I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe that that was really happening. So I want to talk about that because I have met countless Christians who think that masturbation is okay. And they think that masturbation is the way to avoid fornication. Masturbation is having sex with oneself. It is unclean. It is not God's will. God never intended for single men or single women to take care of themselves sexually while they were waiting for their spouse. I met a very famous television personality. I was in New York, and this woman was teaching. And she was teaching a group of young ladies, and I just happened to be listening to her teaching. And she said that if they couldn't keep themselves, she said that it was okay if they masturbated. My hand went up immediately. I said, I don't mean any harm, but what you have told these women, I disagree with that, and it's not biblical. And so she said to me, well, what scripture do you have? See, that's why you got to know the word of God. You got to know the word of God. And at the time, I was young in the Lord, and I did not have a scripture to support what I was saying. The only thing I could think of was the scripture where Tamar had sex with Onan, and when he withdrew himself from her, his seed went into the ground, and God cursed him, and he died because he said, it is better for the seed of a man to go into the belly of a whore than to go into the ground. That was the only scripture I could think of. And she said, no, that doesn't fit this. So I left it alone, but I did openly disagree with her because I did not believe that masturbation was approved by God. 1 year later, this very powerful and famous television personality wrote me a letter. Now, when we were in this session, she was teaching. She said that the old mother of the church told them when they were single that it was okay for them to masturbate while they were waiting on their spouse, to which I totally disagreed with, but I didn't have a scripture to support it. 1 year later, this woman wrote to me and said, Evangelist Taylor, you were right and I was wrong. God revealed to her that masturbation was ungodly, not approved by God, and she wrote me a letter and admitted it. Now, I was through with it when I said what I said while she was teaching, because I interrupted her. I was done with it. I did not argue with her. I just said, ma'am, that is incorrect. And I was done with it, and we parted ways pleasantly. But she got my address and my information for some reason, and 1 year later, I received a letter from her where she confessed that she was wrong in that teaching and that the Lord had revealed to her that masturbation was not his will for believers. So why am I saying that? Because most people do not know that they feel like they had a wet dream. They think, oh, I've had a wet dream. I want to tell you the name of the demon. When you're masturbating, I want to tell you the name of the demon that you're having sex with. His name is Incubus. Incubus is a male demon that has sexual intercourse with women. Succubus, his counterpart, is a female demon that has sex with men. So you may have felt like you had a wet dream and that you woke up feeling like you were having sex. It was a demon. It was, if you're a male, it was succubus. No, if you're a male, it was incubus that comes to have sex with sleeping women. If you are, I said that incorrectly. If you are a female, a male demon by the name of incubus comes to have sex with sleeping women. If you are a male, succubus comes to have, it is a female demon that comes to have sex with sleeping men. Now, I want to talk to you about this because I want you to know that the only way that succubus or incubus can enter you and violate you in this way is you must have opened a doorway. You must have opened one of these gates. I taught this workshop in New York. It was an all-night workshop. We met with over 200 women, and we were conducting the workshop and the deliverance service. so many women confessed that something was coming in their bedroom at night having sex with them. So many women. It was just unbelievable. So we started investigating what the women were watching on television. Most of them professed to be Christians, so they didn't appear to be watching ungodly things, although there were a few that were watching very, very steamy sex scenes in programs that were on TV. So we knew that was the doorway. It was the eye gate. But there were other women that said they had not watched any of those programs. So I began to ask them, these were single women. So I began to ask them, what do you sleep in at night? You know what? These single women were sleeping in negligees. Negligees, which are for married women, they were sleeping in sexy lingerie. Why were they sleeping in these things? They were inviting these demonic spirits to come in and have sex with them. Now, I will say most of these women were from the Caribbean. So I don't know what's going on in the Caribbean, but most of these women that were in this workshop were from the Caribbean, and they talked about invaders, these things, these unclean spirits that came in and had sex with them against their will. And we stayed in that church all night long having the deliverance workshop, casting out unclean spirits. So I'm putting this out there so that you would know these things are very real. They are very real. And maybe you've had these same experiences, those that are listening to the sound of my voice. But I want to say to you, you have hope, and his name is Christ Jesus. And all you have to do is get to a deliverance minister, and these same unclean spirits that are tormenting you in your sleep and violating you against your will can be cast out. Amen? But you have to close those gateways. You have to close the ear gates, the eye gates, the nose gate, the mouth gate, and that other gate. You have to close those gates by confessing your sins, by repenting and renouncing the works of the devil. Renounce any activity that you have engaged in, whether it was fornication, whether it was masturbation, or even whatever it was. You have to renounce the works of the devil. All right. So now we're going to move on. I want to read to you from Acts chapter 15. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 15, verses 19 through 20. It says, wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. But we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled with blood. The apostles met at the Council of Jerusalem, and when the council was trying to bring them under bondage by commanding circumcision, the apostles said, no, we're not going to negate what Christ has done on the cross. Jesus paid it all. He paid for your sins and my sins. Now, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So the apostles condemned sexual immorality, idolatry, and consuming of blood. And they said, we write to them that they abstain. That means stay away from. They are forbidden to practice from the pollution of idols, from fornication, and from things strangled with blood. Amen. So the scriptures forbid fornication. If we turn to 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, let me read that scripture. I believe in the use of a lot of scripture because scripture is the basis for this teaching. Without scripture, I have no basis to tell you the things that I'm telling you tonight. First Corinthians 6 and 9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate," the word effeminate means homosexual, "nor abusers of themselves," that sodomite with mankind, "nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." He goes on to say, "But such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God." So if you have been washed and cleansed, you need to make sure that you stay sanctified, stay washed, stay cleansed, and stay consecrated unto the Lord, because the Lord may want to use you as a vessel, but if you get yourself unclean, you will be unusable to God. The scripture says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that have clean hands and a pure heart." Let's look at another scripture, which is found in Galatians chapter 5. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 and 21. And this is what it says. Hallelujah. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest," which are these. Look at the works of the flesh. Now the Apostle Paul says, "Now, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them that walk after the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh." Now he goes on to tell us what the works of the flesh are. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness." The word lasciviousness means selfish ambition. All right. Then he goes on to say idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I did not write this. This is Galatians 5 and verses 19 through 21. So fornication is on that list, but fornication is not the only thing on that list. But these are things that I'm teaching on tonight. So, and I have given you several scriptures tonight. This is the word of God. This is not Evangelist Janet Taylor talking to you from my own heart. This is the word of God, that she abstain from fornication. All right, let's look at Ephesians 5, verses 3 through 5. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." Fornication is uncleanness. It is greed and it is selfishness. It is self-love. It is saying, "I want to do this. I don't care what God is saying." It is taking pleasure. It is defrauding one another and defrauding oneself. He says, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Anyone who is practicing sexual immorality is actually worshiping Satan. You are outside of the will of God. You are outside of the will of God. Revelation 2 and 20. Now I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Again, we are commanded to abstain from fornication. The Bible says, know ye not that your body is the Lord's? It is not your own. So you have no authority. These groups of women are now saying, I can do what I want with my body. No, it is not your body. It belongs to the Lord. Colossians 3 and 6 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. That is improper affection. That is a man having affection for another man. That is a woman having affection for another woman. That is inordinate affection. Evil concupiscences and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. You see, when you hear this teaching, you have a choice. You can either obey God or you can rebel and walk in disobedience. But the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Revelation 21 and 7 and Revelation 22 verses 14 through 15. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You see, a lot of people are making excuses for the flesh. They're saying, I was born this way, which is a lie. They're saying, well, I can't help it. I was born, this runs in my family, and I was born this way. Well, if you were born that way, which is a lie, then just get born again. Glory be to God. And if you have the inclination to do things that are not authorized by God, we are not to walk in self-love, but we are to love God more than we love anything. So the thing that you are doing, you are saying, I love this more than I love God. But that is not what the believer should be saying. The believer says, God, I have this problem, but and I don't want to do this, but I love you, Lord, more than I love this thing. So I am going to forsake this thing. I am going to abandon this thing. I am not going to commit such ungodly sins or deeds because I love you. You rule, you reign, God. But what is happening is people is taking God off the throne and they are putting self on the throne. It's all about self now. It's all about what I want to do. But there will be consequences on the children of disobedience. Galatians 6 and 9 teaches us that no fornicator will enter heaven. There's so much sensuality in the church today, and the evidence is the lack of conversion. People are getting saved just because they go up and shake the preacher's hand, but they are not being converted. Why? Because nobody is teaching on holiness and righteousness. The scripture says, holiness without, no man shall see the Lord. Every time a Christian commits sexual sin, he is actually defiling the temple of the Holy Ghost. He's defiling his own body. The Bible says every sin that a man does is outside of the body. Lying is outside of the body. Stealing is outside of the body. Jealousy is outside of the body. Unforgiveness is outside of the body. All of these sins you do outside of your body. Fornication is the only sin that you do in the body, and it is therefore the only sin that you commit against your body. Every time a Christian commits sexual sin, he is defiling the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is equivalent to an Old Testament priest going into the temple or committing an abominable act in the Holy of Holies in the temple. You know what happened? When the priests were to go into the Holy of Holies, they had to be, first of all, sanctified, and they had to be chosen, and they had to consecrate themselves. A priest could not even have sex with his wife before he went into the Holy of Holies. He had to be set apart to go into the Holy of Holies. And his robe had bells around the bottom of it. The robe, his tunic had bells on the bottom of it. And if he went into the Holy of Holies with sin in his life, and those bells were not ringing, the priest outside knew he had fallen dead in the presence of the Lord. You see, the God that we serve, he is holy. Our God is a consuming fire. He is holy, holy beyond anything you can imagine. Our God is holy. And the word of God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. We are to have the characteristics and attributes of our God if God is our Father. So when those priests went into the Holy of Holies, if they were not consecrated, if they were not holy, if they had sin in their life, they fell dead in the presence of Almighty God. And no one could go in there and get them out. They had to take a cane and literally try to hook on his clothing and pull him out. So you see, God is nothing to play with. He is not to be trifled with. Holiness is not a religion or a denomination. Holiness is the standard for God. It will never change. Times may change, but God's standards will never change. Sexual immorality is a category, it's in a category all by itself with regards to danger and harm. Fornication, the number one cause for fornication amongst teenage girls has been proven to be absentee fathers. I listened to a teaching by R.W. Sproul, and R.W. Sproul, Pastor Sproul, said that he's a Christian counselor. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. And he said that whenever a couple came to him seeking counseling for divorce, they wanted a divorce, he said one question: did you have premarital sex? Did you have sex before marriage? He said in every case where the couple wanted to get a divorce, he said in every case without exception, he said the answer was they had engaged in sex before marriage. Do you see why God does not want his children to engage in sex before marriage? For one, it is a violation of God's word and a violation of God's will. And then there are consequences. It leads to divorce. That's why the divorce rate is as high amongst Christians as there is amongst non-believers. So fornication, the number one cause for fornication amongst teenage girls is absentee fathers. And the number one cause for divorce amongst Christians is fornication. Let's look at some of the effects of fornication. One is sickness and disease. Fornication is the only sin you commit against your own body. Molestation, incest. So I want to talk to you about molestation. What is molestation? Molestation is when you are a child and someone engages in some type of sexual activity with an underage child. Maybe the child knew or thought they knew what they were doing. In most cases, they did not. They were taken advantage of by family members, by relatives, and even by trusted friends of the family. That child was violated. In most cases, that child was scared to tell anyone, and that child grew up with this terrible secret, carried this burden for this long, long time. You see, this is how the devil operates. He starts at a young age because he wants to ruin your life. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. All right? So we either are going to make up our minds that we're going to do things God's way, or we're going to continue doing the things that we want to do and reap the consequences. But remember, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So I'm going to stop right here for tonight. I want to pray with those that are listening. And I pray that you have questions that you want to submit to me for next week. Now, next week, I will finish this teaching, God willing, that we're all alive next week. So next week, I will conclude with Sleeping with the Enemy, Part 3, and open up the floor for questions and answers. So if you have questions, I'm going to give you my email address once more so that you can email me and your questions, and we can tackle those questions on next week. So the address, the email address is jet245@msn.com. The phone number here is area code 336-575-0206. Again, this is Evangelist Janet Taylor coming to you live from Walls of Fire Deliverance Ministry International. Our web address is www.wallsoffiredeliverancemin.com. And our mailing address, if you are led by the Lord to sow a seed, remember God always desires, or he only desires a free will offering. If you are led by the Lord to send an offering, mail it to P.O. Box 1148, Walkertown, North Carolina 27051. That's Evangelist Janet Taylor here at Walls of Fire Deliverance Ministry International. I want to pray with you before I close on tonight, and we will meet again on next Thursday at 8 p.m. to conclude this teaching, Sleeping with the Enemy, Part 3, and we will do questions and answers. So you can send your questions to me at jet245@msn.com. Amen? All right, Father, it's in the name of Jesus, Lord. We come thanking you and praising you for this privilege to share with the people of God on tonight. I pray that you have given your people ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, and I pray that they have been edified and that you have been glorified in this teaching. Now, God, I pray for that one who has been burdened by a sinful past. God, I believe that you are leading them and guiding them to deliverance. and it is your will that they would be set free. So all of these things are coming out not to bring shame or confusion, but so that they will be able to get the deliverance that they need. I pray, oh God, that something was said tonight about soul ties and the repercussions from sexual sins, and that the enemy has been exposed tonight for the liar that he is. God, I ask that you would comfort those that are mourning. I pray, oh God, that you would build them up where they've been torn down, and I pray, oh God, for their deliverance. I pray that each person under the sound of my voice would know if God did it for Evangelist Janet Taylor, surely there is hope for me. I pray, oh God, that they would tune in next week for part three, for the conclusion of this teaching, and to get their questions answered. I pray, oh God, that you would watch over them, take care of them, and I pray for their salvation and deliverance, oh God. Let them know that even though they may have done things in the past, God, that you still love them. It is your desire that none should perish. You sent your son Jesus to pay for these crimes, for these sins, and Jesus paid it all. And all they have to do is receive your free gift of salvation, be healed, be delivered, and be set free by the power of God. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would minister to these, your people, who have listened to this teaching on tonight, and I pray your blessings. I pray, oh God, they were able to take notes, and I pray your blessings upon them, for it is your will that you came to set the captives free, Father. So tonight I pray that they would have a good night of rest, and I ask you, oh God, to comfort those that mourn tonight. In the name of Jesus, I personally mourned over my sins when I came to the knowledge, to the revelation of how I had sinned against you. But God, it was the best thing, because it was the godly sorrow that brought forth the repentance, and that's what changed my life. So I want to thank you tonight, God, for this opportunity to share with the people of God, and I look forward to coming back on next week. I pray for Apostle tonight as they're delivering some people on tonight. I pray that you would be with them in the deliverance service, and I pray for the individuals who are being delivered, who are being set free. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, oh God, for calling me and choosing me to be a vessel in this ministry. I give you all the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. I plead the blood of Jesus right now over your people in every nation, in every tongue, in every tribe that listen to this teaching tonight. I give you praise. And we honor you, we worship you, we love you, Father, and we adore you. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you all on next week. Amen. Bye-bye.